always love when Kevin introduces me. And Carrie, thank you for the dental floss. For those of you who weren't here last week, I made the mistake of using a dental hygienist as an illustration in my example, and Carrie nicely came up afterwards when she finished up and just reminded me that she was a hygienist for 27 years and still is. And she added that, you know, flossing, so if you miss this lesson, listen carefully. This comes directly from a 20-year experienced dental hygienist, right? That you floss daily, it will add 5 years to your life. Is that correct? Only floss the ones you want to keep. Okay. There's a new section to that lesson. So just floss the ones you want to keep. The rest you can just ignore. They'll fall out, but you'll still live 5 more years, right? So that's what the dental floss was for. But I want to say, in worship, I've always felt that when men lead worship, it hits the heart and it hits us at a soul level. When women lead worship, it raises us up to the heavenlies. There's a level of your voice that cries out during worship. And I heard that so clearly this morning. So thank you for stepping into that gift, stepping out of being a hygienist and stepping into that role of leading us. Because seriously, when women pray, when women worship, it lifts us higher. And so men, we need to take note and listen to women when they're praying, listen when they're worshiping, because they can take us to a higher level. That's just a side note. No, that was it. Thank you. No. So I wanted to do a little recap, because recaps are always good, because this is my fourth Sunday here with you. And so I wanted to recap, because I've been kind of hanging out in Matthew for the last few weeks. And so if you missed the first three because you've been on vacation, I know there's a lot of coming and going during summertime, isn't it? There's hit and miss. You know, it's too hot. I'm staying home in the AC and sipping lemonade, right? It's just one of those things. Like, who wants to listen to Jim when I can just sit home with a tall iced tea and just enjoy it? So we first talked about judging. Remember, we talked about judgment and the level of judgment that we extend is what we receive. So we need to be careful of being know-it-alls, thinking that, oh, they're this, they're that. We need to be mindful of that. And I use the illustration that when you point a finger at somebody, right, there's one pointing up, but there's three pointing back. And so we really need to be careful. And Jesus uses the example of the speck in the eye, right? If somebody had a speck in their eye and they're 100 feet away, it's really tiny, but that's how judgmental we can become sometimes. We can focus in on one little tiny speck, one tiny little flaw, and make it really big. But if we took that same speck and brought it up close to our eyes, it's that massive stick, that massive beam that Jesus was talking about. So he says, you know, be mindful of what you're putting out there, because you can bring it up into your life. It's a lot bigger of a mess inside here than it is out there. And so it was a reminder to be mindful of judging. And then we talked about seeking first the kingdom of God, asking and seeking and knocking. We don't get because we don't ask, right? Could you imagine going into a restaurant and just, you know, fast food restaurant, you stand at a counter or your favorite coffee shop and just stand there, but don't ask for your favorite latte. You don't ask for that burger and fries with that supersized drink like Kevin gets, right? You don't ask for that. If you didn't ask, you wouldn't get it, right? You could stand there, your waiter or your server would just stare at you all day long, but until you ask, you don't get anything. So it's that whole principle that Jesus reminds of us to ask, to seek, to knock. And it's the way things open up. It's the way opportunities open up. It's the way things open. Imagine in our careers, if we never knocked on employers' doors, or if we never knocked on clients' doors to get the sale or get the opportunity to serve people, right? If we just stepped back and didn't knock, nothing would open up. We could have all kinds of great knowledge, and I deal with this all the time. People got great wisdom and great knowledge and great understanding, but they're unwilling to knock on doors. They're unwilling to present things. There's something fearful about when we knock, because now we're opening up doors, and now we're going to be exposed for who we are. We have to demonstrate that we know what we're talking about. We have to demonstrate that we know what we're speaking about. But so we talked about also how knocking, when God knocks on our hearts, the doors of our heart, right? There's no handle on the outside. It's a handle on the inside that we need to open up. And so we talked about how knocking, God's knocking on the doors of our heart. He has throughout history knocked on the door of a heart, but he won't push his way through. Right? Some doors, like if you go into commercial buildings, they're designed. They're just push-pull. There's no latch or anything, right? You just push them open, you pull them open, you just go in and out. But our door of our heart is one of those things that we need to open up. And once we open it up and have received Jesus, once we open it up and have received his truth, we need to continue to open it up daily to new understanding. We continue to grow. It's not a one-and-done thing, just coming to church once and saying, yep, I believe God. I believe in Jesus. Yep, that's it. No, it's not a one-and-done. We need to continue to grow, to continue to move. And one of the things that I think that we fail at in the church, and I want to speak to leadership here, is discipleship. We're great at teaching. We're great at telling. We're great at talking. But we're not the greatest at discipling. And that's what Jesus was masterful at, was discipling the disciples, discipling people. And he encouraged them to disciple others. And it's something, it's a missing element in the church that we need to be aware of and be mindful of. And as we get older, we have more responsibility because we have responsibility to that next generation coming up. I have the privilege of meeting with a young man that just stepped into a leadership position. I have the opportunity to meet with him weekly just to ask what's happening. What do you want to do? What do you want to accomplish? Where do you want to go? What's working? What's not working? And discipling him through what he's experiencing. And we need to do the same thing in our lives, especially in the Christian church. We need to be discipling. Don't just think that the person sitting beside you is getting it. Don't just think that the person that comes every Sunday is just, you know, understanding everything that's going on. We need to be discipled. We need to be nurtured. We need to be building relationships. It's one thing to step out of the world, out of the craziness, and step into the church. But if we're not receiving, if we're not building relationships, if we're not being engaged in relationships, it's going to stay at a flat level. It's never going to rise. It's never going to grow. We're never going to mature. And that's what discipleship is all about. And so part of our responsibility as believers is nurturing and caring for other people, not just keeping it to ourselves, but sharing it with us. And then last week, we talked about the narrow and wide gate, right? We talked about how, you know, Jesus said, you know, wide is the door for easy opportunity, for easy things, for the easy life, for getting the fast food restaurants and all the fast food stuff. That gate's easy. That's wide open. But narrow gate is a little bit tougher because we need to make decisions. We need to make choices, intentional choices to step into that. And so we talked about how it's important that we choose our decisions or make our decisions wisely. Because if we do today what is easy, it's going to make tomorrow hard. But if we do what's hard today, it'll make tomorrow easier. And I know that seems counterintuitive, but think about it. Like if you were exercising and you wanted to get stronger, if you used a half pound or a half kilogram weight, you can't expect to grow muscle mass. You can't expect to grow in endurance. But as we increase that, then we continue to grow. And so those are some of the things that we talked about over the last few weeks. And today I want to jump into Matthew 7, verses 15 to 23. And I'll just read it along with you here. Somehow yours looks different than mine. So we'll go with yours. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by your fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, we will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. It's interesting that sometimes we think that just showing up in church and going through religious gymnastics is enough. But there's a commitment that needs to be made. We need to verbally, you know, the word tells us that it's by the confession of our hearts, it's confession in our mouth that we are saved. And Jesus is talking about the fruit because, let's face it, we're in a time and an era where a lot of things make sense, don't they? I mean, there's a lot of influencers on television. There's a lot of influencers on YouTube that seem to have it all together, that seem to be sharing the truth. You know, Scripture tells us, I think it was in 1 Timothy 4, it says, there's going to become a time where we don't listen to sound doctrine anymore. We just want to listen to the stuff that pleases our ear. And if you've ever had anybody speak truth into you, sometimes you don't like to hear the truth, do you? Sometimes it's like, oh, don't tell me the truth. Tell me what I want to hear. I mean, don't tell me what I need to hear. Tell me what I want to hear. And we're at that day and age where we can pick and choose, or some people think that we can pick and choose what we listen to and what we accept as gospel truth. We adjust it and say, well, that was for a certain time and era. That's not for today. And it's true in the Bible, there's historical stuff that was just accounting historical things. But there's many truths that are still relevant today as they were back then. But yet we deny that. We'd say, oh no, that was just for then. That's not for now. We don't need to do that. We can pick and choose. We can formulate our own thing. We can reinterpret things. And so often, instead of looking for the truth, we're looking for things that just please what we want to hear, that make it easy for us to continue doing the stuff that we're doing, rather than facing the truth. It's sometimes hard to face truth, isn't it? If we're being honest, sometimes it's easier just to kind of live with the lies. And some of the biggest lies are the lies that we tell ourselves. We do things out of defense, out of experiences that we have as we're young, and we adopt these mindsets, we adopt this language, and we just begin to rehearse it over and over in our mind. We could say about losing weight, oh, I'm just big boned. I'm just a big person. It's just the way I am. It's just my body. I don't, you know, and we could associate that as being our truth. We can say, oh, I never get the opportunities, or I never get the job. I never get the thing that I want. We begin to wrap off scripts in our mind saying, well, that's why I don't get what I want, because that's just the way it is. We can do that around money. We can say, oh, I never have money because I've just, you know, it's just not meant for me to have. God wants me to have nothing. And we can begin to believe these scripts. We can begin to believe these truths rather than going to the Word and saying, what is truth? And part of our responsibility as believers is digging into this. Listening to me talk, listening to Aubrey talk, shouldn't be enough. And you shouldn't take everything that is said from here as 100%. You need to dig into it yourselves. You need to go in deeper yourself and look at it and say, okay, what was really meant by that? What is really truth? Is it really what he says? Rather than just going away and saying, well, it must be true. He spoke it from the front. Lightning didn't strike him. It must be true. But we need to test these things. Back in the day, in Corinth and in the early time in the Bible, there was so many different doctrines, and there were a lot of rabbis, a lot of teachers going around. That's why Jesus was always being tested, because they're saying, okay, is his doctrine really true? What is he saying? You know, because everybody had their philosophy, everybody had their idea, and they would gather disciples, or people would say, yeah, I buy into that truth, and they would start to follow him around. And so back in the day, they would just follow them for a little while and say, well, I like what they're saying. You know, it doesn't challenge me. It's easy on the ears. It goes easy with what I'm believing, so I'm going to follow them, rather than really digging in and understanding truth. It's our responsibility to dig in and understand the truth and to dig it deeper and decide, is this something that we want? And we can discover the truth, as Jesus is pointing out in this scripture, by the fruit. Now, you can say that on the surface, you know, things look really good with what this person is saying. It looks really good with their lives. It looks like they got it all together. They must be speaking truth because I can see some fruit. You know, we see this all the time on YouTube. You see people with, you know, big houses behind them in the video and fancy cars and, you know, wads of money in their front pocket. And we think, okay, they must be telling the truth. They must be fruitful. They must be wise. They must be smart. What they're doing must be good. But, you know, there's that term called poser, right? People can pose as someone that they're not. And a lot of these people do this. They rent fancy cars. I know a guy that when he published his first book, he stood in front of a mansion with a fancy car in the driveway and took a picture and put it on the front cover of his book, making it look like he was really well-to-do, looking like he really had it all together. But it was just to set the image. And so many times people do this today, yet we start to blindly follow them. And Jesus is reminding us that it's by the fruit of their lives. It's the fruit that they bear. So watch them closely. Watch them long enough and see if they're producing fruit. You know, it's interesting. You know, as humans, we've got the ability to make a lot more choices than most animals, most creatures on the planet, right? A dog can only reproduce a dog, and they just do things instinctively unless we intervene and train them, right? A cat is only a cat. But humans, we have the ability to become so much more. And so oftentimes we just refer back to natural instinct, back to those mindsets that we've had, back to those scripts that we've adopted, rather than really testing them, rather than really pushing through and discovering who we are to go to a deeper level. And so really what I wanted to share with us today is to remind us that fancy words, eloquent speech, people posing in front of castles and fancy cars doesn't necessarily mean that they're successful. It doesn't really mean that they're fruitful. It doesn't really mean that they've got it all together. And we need to be mindful of that and look at the fruit of their lives. I want us to take a moment, and I just want to read a couple of statistics. Because sometimes we can get hard on ourselves, can't we? We're our own worst critics at times, right? Ever stand in the mirror and just kind of, you know, read the riot act going through, looking at our different body parts, thinking about something that we did through the day, and we can really become hard on ourselves. But I want us to reflect on a global scale this morning. Did you know that 1 in 3 people on this planet still don't have access to clean water? Your life was looking pretty good so far, isn't it, right? You turn on a tap. There isn't one person here today that couldn't turn on a tap and get clean water. I mean, you may not necessarily want to drink it, but it's clean water nonetheless, right? You might filter it a little bit, but it's clean water. Half of the world's population, so that's almost 4 billion people, don't have access to health care. Yet in Canada, we could go, if we got a hangnail, we could go to the hospital and get it looked at. Looking pretty good so far, isn't it? Nearly 3 billion people, so that's about a third of the planet, don't have a place to call home. And 20% is now this couch surfing, right? They don't have a place to live, so all they're doing is just bouncing from place to place. They live on their aunt's couch or their friend's couch or their friend's floor or someplace until they get kicked out and they move someplace else. Almost 3 billion people. 1 in 10 throughout the world are classified as homeless. 1 in 10 people lack adequate food. How's your fridge looking this morning? I mean, you had a choice whether to eat breakfast or not eat breakfast, right? But 1 out of 10 struggle with having basic food. And if we bring it into Canada, we could look around the room. And we could begin to look at each other and know that 1 out of 5 Canadians suffer some form of addiction. 1 in 5. There's maybe 100 people here. That's potentially 20 of us just in this room. These are Canadian statistics. 2 out of 5. So that's 20% of Canadians suffer from loneliness. And it increases as it gets older. 65 plus is even more. Can you see the need for the church to care, to mentor, to disciple, to support. 2 out of 5, that's 20% of our population, will have financial stresses of some sort. 2 out of 5, of course, broken relationships. We will all experience those things, but ongoing basis, we have broken relationships, workplaces, personal lives. 1 in 5 will suffer anxiety and depression. That's 20%. So I say that not to bring the level down, but to help us to look at our lives and say, I'm not doing so bad. According to world standards, one of the exciting things, I was hosting an event at our house and we were talking about missions. And if you ever experienced, how many have ever experienced short-term mission or done any mission work? We've got a few people here that have. It opens your eyes. You know, I was just sharing a story of how students, we would take students down. We've probably taken 250, 300 students over our lifetime down into Central America. We brought them all back, by the way. We brought every one of them back. There was once we almost, no, I'm kidding. But we brought them all back. But afterwards, we would meet 2 weeks after we came back from the trip, and we would ask them, we would kind of debrief just to make sure they're adjusting back to culture. Because we would take them for 12 days. And so there was a bit of culture shock. And I remember one young guy, he sat down, he says, I can't eat any more food. I said, what are you talking about? He said, because I experienced that level of poverty and homelessness and people not having enough, he said that picture of doing outdoor food giveaways where we would make a big pot of soup and then the kids would line up, we would see 130, 140 kids come with broken tin plates and plastic bowls and stuff and plastic buckets to get a scoop of soup because that was the only hot meal they were going to get through the week. He said that was etched in my mind so badly or so deeply that when I went to school and my schoolmates were throwing away their lunch, I would say, don't throw that away, and he would eat it. He was consuming other people's lunches because he couldn't bear to see more stuff get wasted. But those are the experiences that happen as we step out into the culture. We get exposed to those things. Some of us, the biggest exposure we get is when we stop at the corner traffic lights and see somebody asking for some handouts. Or going into a grocery store seeing some. Some of us, that's the only exposure we see that. But locally, we know that it's increasing. That's why we do these food drives, because there's an increase on the demand at the food bank. And I think one of the things that we're called to as believers is to dig in and do more. Right, because we're taught over and over again, that's part of the reason why I wanted to hang out in Matthew and go through this stuff, is because Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added unto you. I know I keep going back to this point, but I want us to get it, that we live in an upside down kingdom, right? Jesus flipped everything else upside down, like the first will become last, the last will become first. Give everything away and more will be given unto you. He challenged rich people that wanted to follow him, saying, how do I follow you? How do I become? He said, just give everything away and follow me. It doesn't make any sense. You know, I'm rich, I'm wealthy, I've got all this stuff. You want me to give it all away and follow you? It makes no sense. He turns everything upside down. Why? Because he wants us to focus more on him than the stuff. We spend most of our life chasing these things at this bottom level, looking for food, looking for clothing, looking for a house, looking for a place to stay, working up the corporate ladder, doing all these different things. We spend all our time doing that where we don't really live our fullest lives. And Jesus came not just to make bad people good. He came to set people free. He said that I come to give you life and life more abundant. Who would like to have an abundant life? But automatically when we think of abundance, we think of a fat bank account, don't we? We think of lots of, you know, cars in our driveway or a fancier house. We think of that as being abundance. But what he's saying is these are the principles. These are the things that will increase in your life as you follow me, and everything else will be added unto you. In other words, this is the big picture. This is the big thing to focus on, is the kingdom of God. Seeking his righteousness, seeking that place, seeking that position, seeking to be right with him, and then everything else will be added unto you. But it doesn't make sense, because we're taught in school to get good grades and get a good job and save our money and do all that stuff. That's what we're taught to do. Yet the kingdom, you know, Jesus comes along and says, hey, give it all away and I'll give you more. That makes no sense. But that's what he's calling us to do. The proof is always in the fruit. Looking at people's lives. Are they doing what they say? Are they living out what they're saying? You know, because as humans, we can do that. We can demonstrate fruit by living that example, by living the truth, by living what we say. But looking at the fruit. Now we can pretend that we've got it all together. We can pretend that we know everything. We can put ourselves in positions of authority. We can step in and you know, we become parents, we can become teachers, we become doctors, lawyers, and pretend that we've got it all together. Or we can begin to practice what we preach. We can live that out. God has the old expression that, you know, says, do as I do, or do as I say, not as I do, right? You remember hearing that? I heard that growing up, and I hear it, you know, I still hear it from time to time, but gone is that, because people want to see the fruit. They want to see it demonstrated. They want to see an illustration that who you are is really who you are. What you're saying is really what you're saying. What you believe is really what you believe. And we have a large percentage of the planet on the outside of the church looking in, looking for fruit. They're looking to your life and to my life to see fruit in our lives. And what did Jesus say is the biggest fruit they would see is that we could love one another. We would demonstrate it with the love that we have for one another. The church, or the world, is desperately looking for fruit from the church, from believers. Being a believer, it goes a little bit deeper than just saying that, oh yeah, I go to church. You know, it's kind of like stepping into a kitchen and saying, I'm a chef. You know, or going down to the corner garage and stepping into the garage and say, I'm a mechanic. Even though, you know, you could hold a wrench and stand in a garage and say you're a mechanic, but you're really not a mechanic. And we can do the same thing coming into church. We can come into church and go, oh, you know, I'm a believer. But are you really? Is it something that we're saying at the surface level, or has it gone deeper? And that's only a question that you can answer for you. It's not something that I can answer for you. It's nothing you can answer for me. It's only something that we can answer ourselves. So on this final Sunday that I get to share with you, I want to lead us in a prayer. Because I want us to get to the place where we look at ourselves, and rather than being critical when we're looking in the mirror, we're looking at ways that we can improve ourselves looking in the mirror. I always teach people that there's three things that we see when we look in the mirror. We look and we see our reflection, right? You see yourself in the present moment. And you could be, you know, combing your hair, flossing your teeth, doing that kind of stuff, right? You're preparing for something. But you're just kind of in the moment, getting ready. But as you look in your reflection, you're getting yourself ready for something that you're stepping into. You're doing something for the future, right? That's the second thing you see. You see a future thing. So you might be getting yourself ready to go out, to go to school, go to work, meet a neighbor, hang out, do something, right? You're getting ready for something. But as you look in the mirror, you can also see the reflection of the wall behind you, can't you? So you can see what's in your past. You can see what's behind you. So when we step and look in the mirror, we're not only looking at a present reflection, we're preparing to go into the future, but we're also looking at the back. And it's oftentimes when we're standing in the mirror looking at the reflection that we think of things that we've done. And I encourage people to look at that and take that opportunity and say, okay, maybe I didn't have the greatest day. You know, maybe I kicked the dog and, you know, yelled at my neighbor or did something. But you could look at that and say, what could I do better as I move forward? We can use that opportunity to reflect. Rather than beating ourselves up, saying, oh, I'm a lousy person, I'm never going to get it right, my nose is too long, my hair is too short, or whatever it is. We could kind of rehearse those kind of things. But we could stand and look in a reflection and say, how can I step forward and become a better person? How could I use that experience and move forward? And as we begin to apply that to our lives, then we can step out into the fullness of who we are. And it doesn't come by changing 20 things at one time. It comes by just changing one thing and taking one step in one area and shifting one thought, just moving in a different direction in one area of our life, that we begin to step into the fullness of who we are. And all that can happen just by looking at ourselves in the mirror. So the next time you look at yourself in the mirror, and I guarantee that you will, I mean, we probably do it 5, 10, 20 times a day. Kids, you ever see kids today where they take their cell phone? And you think they're looking at their cell phone, they're checking their thing. All they're doing is looking at themselves in their camera. They're checking their makeup, they're checking their hair. They're just kind of looking at it to make sure everything's okay. So we're constantly looking, but what are we seeing? Are we seeing someone that's just pretending? Are we seeing somebody that's, or are we seeing somebody that's practicing? Are we seeing someone that's just focused on the present and not worried about what's happening in the future, how they act, how they respond, how they look after human beings and how they interact? Or are they someone that's just looking, are they somebody that's changing, looking to better themselves, looking to improve as they step forward? My heart and prayer is that as a church that we would get to that place. And that we would weigh out the words that we say. That we would weigh out those things and say, no, I need to step into the fullness. I need to look at ways that I can support and encourage people. I need to let my life be a demonstration of that fruit. Seeing that I love, seeing that I encourage, seeing that I support. Because it's one of the biggest reasons why the church is declined in attendance. It's because people aren't seeing the evidence on the outside. And if you don't think you're being watched because you go to church, I'm here to tell you that you are. Right? The people are watching. They're looking to see that your life is different. They're looking to see that you respond differently. And sometimes people will test that. They'll test you to see if you're really going to respond. Well, what happens if I push that Christian's button here? How are they going to respond? How are they going to react? How are they going to reply? But it's a tough thing. It's easy in a gathering like this to be encouraging, supportive, but it's a little bit more challenging, you know, when we step out and start driving and the first person cuts us off. Or somebody's taking too long in a lineup to bag their groceries. Right? Or they're just kind of going through the aisle and they leave their cart right there so you can't get around them, right? So they're looking to see how we respond. How do we react? And the best place, the only place that we can change that is changing our own hearts. Changing our position, changing our attitude, our mindset. And therefore allowing new fruit to come out of our lives. So as we close, I just want to pray for us. Yeah, Father, we thank you for this time that we've had just to reflect on the fruit that comes from our lives. And sometimes we don't think about it. Sometimes, Lord, we're so busy just living life that we don't consider the fruit. We don't consider our actions. We don't consider our reactions. But Lord, would you remind us when we go to respond, maybe in a negative way, maybe in a not a very friendly or polite way, would you remind us to examine our heart and why we're doing or thinking or acting the way we are? Cause us, Father, not to just go to default, but to question and challenge ourselves. That we would get into the habit of just hanging around with people that are encouraging and supporting, that we can glean from them. Lord, we confess to you today that we want our lives to bear good fruit. And one of those greatest things is just to that fruit of love. And it's a challenging thing. Father, sometimes people just press our buttons and push things. We ask that you would help us to see what those buttons are so that we can deal with them, we can eliminate them. And as we're looking in the mirror and fixing our hair and flossing our teeth and getting ready for our day, Lord, would you quicken our hearts to remember the maybe perhaps the arguments or disagreements or the way we handled a certain situation and give us new insight into how we could do things differently, how we could step into that same position but do it in a different way. When people push our buttons, it's not them that needs to change, it's us. Would you remind us of that? That we can't change and control the world, but we can change and control ourselves. And God, would you help us to see the truth of the people that we follow, perhaps, or the people that we idolize, the people that we think are great influencers in our lives? Would you help us to see it in the light of truth? And Lord, we recognize that you didn't come just to make bad people good. You came to bridge that gap, that we could enter back into relationship with you and live life, but live an abundant life. Help us, Lord, when we get so worried about and concerned about daily stuff like food and clothing and money and all the different things, help us to be mindful of you, where your word says to seek you first. And Lord, help us to look at our lives and just say, look, maybe I've been attending church and haven't really made that commitment. I've been like that person standing in the kitchen just pretending to be a chef. And today's that opportunity, Father, where we want to pray. And I just want to lead us in a simple prayer. And you can follow me out loud. You can follow me in your heart. But Lord, let it just be a declaration of us wanting to receive you and to receive you in a deeper way. Lord, we confess to you that maybe we've tried to do things on our own. We try to be righteous. We've tried to be godly on our own. We ask your forgiveness. Lord, there's times where we've tried to figure out all the world's problems, all our family's problems, all our friends' problems, and we've tried to solve those in our own strength, in our own wisdom. We ask your forgiveness. And Lord, we just come and stand before you and you alone today. We ask that you would hold the mirror up to our lives and help us to see ourselves as you see us. And Lord, we want to confess that we haven't done everything right. And we need you. We open the doors of our heart and we invite you to come in. We ask for your Son to come and rule and reign in our lives, to wash us and cleanse us. We choose you. And we choose to walk in obedience to your Spirit. And we trust that you will teach us daily how to do that. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this moment just to sit in your presence. Just give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.